welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, our guest is LaShonda Brown. LaShonda is a serial entrepreneur who is going to come here today and talk to us about her services and what she does for a living. So, LaShonda, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
You have a very diverse portfolio, I'll say. Like you said, you're a serial entrepreneur. Can you tell us how you got to do the things that you do today and kind of what your day-to-day looks like, what you do for a living?
Yeah, so I like to boil it down to say I do marketing for a living. Everything that I do funnels back through that particular field. So our first business is called Life Focus Pictures. And my husband actually started it. He has a background in film and I have one in theater. And so when he moved to Lynchburg, Virginia, where we live now, he looked for a film industry, and it's a very rural, small Virginia town. And so there really wasn't one. So we started Life Focus as a way to provide lifestyle photo and video content to small businesses, nonprofits, local governments, those types of organizations. And so we've been doing that since 2011. And when the market changed in 2016, we noticed that with the introduction of Facebook Live and YouTube Live and Instagram Live, that all of a sudden people were transitioning from pre-recorded videos to live content and using social media even more to market their business. So in Lynchburg, I wanted to teach local small businesses how to leverage social media to grow their business. So I took all of my knowledge from working with over 200 organizations worldwide and said, why don't I start a marketing consultancy where I can bring them that innovative knowledge from outside of Lynchburg that people are doing in bigger cities like Atlanta and New York and LA. And recently, I started a third brand to address a concern that I saw in the stock photo community where there was a lack of diversity and representation within stock photos. So as I would do marketing strategies for my clients, some of which were African-American, I would search for images that reflect the work that they were doing. And I had a hard time finding natural, lively, positive imagery that I could use. So I started to shoot the images myself. And so that's where Eye for Ebony came from. So right now, it's wild to say, but I run Life Focus Pictures, About 90 Marketing, and Eye for Ebony at the same time.
How do you maintain multiple brands? How do you keep all of them up and running and thriving simultaneously?
Well, I think the most important thing that we can do, whether you're running one business or you're running three, is to understand the workflow is what people are paying for. So, you know, when I do a commercial, there is a system that I follow for every commercial that I shoot or for every Facebook video ad that we create. So I'm not reinventing the wheel every time I onboard a new client, but I am integrating them into a system I already have. So Life Focus has a system, About 90 has a system, Eye for Ebony has a system. Because if I had to keep all that in my head, I would constantly find myself grasping for what comes next in the process. But because it's all written down, everything systemized, I can just plug in someone. You know, they can call me in the morning and we can be starting the project that afternoon. So that's really helpful. And coming up with a daily routine that you can follow up with every single day helps you to keep even less in your head. The more you can get out of your head and on paper or into a website, the better. Because we waste a lot of time and we miss a lot of details when we try to rely on what we can think of in our own mind.
Okay, I completely understand that. So I have multiple brands myself as well. And one that I created was a nonprofit called Nubian Wellness. And it just focuses on decreasing health disparities that may exist in the African-American community. One thing I get asked a lot by people is they'll have a passion project or something like that they really want to launch, but they also need like their day job. What kind of advice or tips do you give for people who may want to launch a passion project or a nonprofit or service still, but at the time they just can't really make it their full-time work?
Yeah, that's currently where I for Ebony is. And so that's a perfect example of how you can do both. What I would say is, you know, treat it like it is a full-time job in the sense that you develop a professional-looking brand. You begin to build an email list from the first day. Because ultimately, what a great life you could have if you were doing what you were passionate about 100% of the time. So, you know, put those plans into place to help build that system that can be ramped up should you be able to do that full-time. But I think the other thing that's important as well is just to set boundaries. You know, I love I for Ebony, but because it is a passion project, I can't dedicate hours on end to creating content. So I made a rule for myself that I would do one photo shoot a month and I would continue to build up my library of images. And if things ever pick up where I can do more, then I can address it then. But I don't feel this pressure to do more than I can handle with our other businesses at the same time. So if you have those rules kind of created for yourself from the beginning, you build that professional looking brand from the beginning in the event that it does take off, then I think you can balance a full-time job and a passion.
Okay. So what are some of the like key marketing tips that you have for people who are like maybe scared? I know you talked a lot about video and things like that. There's a lot of fears people could have with that. I know you're like theater, so you may have been more comfortable like on video and doing those things. Do you have any tips that you give your clients with breaking through that barrier of video or being seen and being visible?
Yeah, I think it's important that if you're going to use content creation as a way to market yourself, that you really take some time to get to know yourself as a person and figure out how do you want to communicate your story to the world. Because, you know, one example would be Amy Porterfield. She's a phenomenal podcaster, but she went years before people ever saw her on a Facebook Live video or a pre-recorded video for that matter. She just felt more comfortable behind her microphone. So maybe you're introverted and you don't want to be on camera. Whereas someone like me, although I'm introverted, I love performing. And so Facebook Live is wonderful for me because I can create content and I don't have to edit it. I don't have to agonize over it. It's created as soon as I hit stop. So once you take some time to really get to know yourself and say, you know, how do I want to communicate? Then you can find the social media platform that works for you. Maybe you're a brilliant writer, but you're not a good photographer. So stick to Twitter. Maybe you speak through images, but you're not very good on camera, then Instagram might be a best fit for you. You don't have to do them all. And I think that's kind of the misnomer that's changed over the years. There was a time where everyone created accounts on every platform they could to claim their name, if you will. But now it's all about owning the space that you're in. And if all you have is Facebook or all you have is Instagram, but you have a genuine following on that platform, you don't have to be everywhere. So just take that pressure off yourself. If you don't want to be on camera, you don't have to be.
I know a big component of what you do is helping people who serve. How would someone know if what they do in their line of work actually qualifies as being someone who serves?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, whether you're providing a product or a service, you're probably someone who serves. But there are lots of organizations that say, for instance, like Tom's, that you create a product, but you give money back to people in need, or you give, in their case, shoes back to people in need. So all of those organizations that sell things but pay it forward by giving a percentage of their proceeds to charities would be someone who serves. Also, a service-based business like a hairstylist or an accountant. I love working with service-based businesses and service organizations like a United Way or Red Cross or Salvation Army, because those aren't people that have to be on social media all the time. They're not people who have to constantly put out content like you would if you had a restaurant or a boutique. I am less a good fit for retail and more of a good fit for people who charge by the hour. And that's a really good way to kind of differentiate yourself. If you charge by the hour, more than likely you're a service business.
Okay. What are some things you wish you knew before you started in your whole entrepreneurship or philanthropy journey?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that people can do to set themselves up for success is prioritize money. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we prioritize our passion and prioritize our business plan, but most people go out of business because they run out of money before they're able to really thrive. So whether it's seeking funding before you get started, or it's, you know, just really charging the right price from the beginning and charging what you're worth, just focusing on how is money going to affect your business is probably the biggest thing. You know, some folks actually save mm-hmm. up money to be an entrepreneur because they know most businesses don't pay you immediately. There's kind of a time of spending money to make money. And so money is so vital to a thriving business. If you're not making it, then it's more of a hobby than a business. If you don't have enough, you'll go out of business before you get going. So if you can just really take that time to say, money is going to make or break me, and treat it like it is that important, then more than likely, you will survive. People who don't take it as seriously are the ones who tend to have a difficult time.
So it sounds like budgeting and kind of planning before you take the plunge or leap. Do you recommend people saving a certain amount of money before they kind of make the switch into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, treat your new startup as you're going out of business or you're temporarily becoming unemployed. Let's just put it that way. You're becoming unemployed to employ yourself. And so you wouldn't want to put yourself in that position without having something saved up or some type of plan. Mm. For some people, their families can live off of one income for a while. And so the other person in the relationship has the ability to just, you know, make it work in the meantime. Other people don't have that luxury. So if you find yourself in a position where if you were unemployed tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to pay rent in September, then perhaps you should save up money. So really think about when you transition from having a full-time job to being self-employed, you will be unemployed for a time. And so can you financially handle being unemployed? And so that's really the way to kind of look at it. And so maybe for you, you can last 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. But there have been people who say it takes 3 years for your business to start paying you back. I think that if you really prepare, it doesn't have to be that long. But there is a time frame where you may not be making money or the type of money you were making previously when you start out.
Okay, awesome. How could people find out a little bit more about you, how to get connected to you? How can the audience find out more about your services that you offer, LaShonda?
Yeah, you can go to LaShondaBrown.com, and that's kind of my online hub for all the things that I do. So it's a great place for you to look at my video tutorials. I have a YouTube channel called Bootstrap Biz Advice Show, where I teach people how to grow their biz without breaking the bank. You can also see all of my brands and connect with me in that way. And I provide 27 free stock photos from Eye for Ebony when you sign up for my email list. So that's something that you can always get if you go to eyeforebony.com.
Thank you so much, LaShonda. You have given us a wealth of knowledge. We were really, really lucky to have you today as a guest. Like you said, you are a serial entrepreneur managing multiple brands. What is your daily mantra? What keeps you pushing forward?
Yeah, Rotary International is an organization that I'm a part of and I have been for the past 5 years. And their motto is service above self. And I love that motto. And it's something that I try to apply to every single day, is to put serving others before myself. And when I do that, I'm so much happier and so much more successful.
So again, please check out LaShonda Brown at LaShonda, LaShonda, Brown spelled BROWN.com. Again, LaShonda Brown is a serial entrepreneur, primarily focusing on those who serve while serving herself. Again, LaShonda, thank you so much for being a guest on the Early Accountability Podcast.
I really appreciate it, and I had a great time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.